Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Canada. That's what Tempest sings in The Office, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the national anthem.
The theme tune to Canada.
Yeah, pretty sure that's their national anthem.
Canada! Congratulations, Adam Copeland, for winning the TNT Championship from the dastardly Christian in his hometown of Toronto. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen, DAD. Welcome to the AEW Dynamite, but not Rampage, podcast. A lot of people. I put a lot of effort into my review. Mm-hmm. Do the news as well these days, so it's enormously busy, isn't it, on those days to get everything done. I'm like, oh, I like this. I think I did a good job on this episode. Put it live. First thing, why didn't you review Rampage?
Well, I mean, people really need to know your thoughts on the Takeshita match.
Yeah.
And what was, I have been told, a very good main event with Statlander and Willow versus Heart and Blue.
AEW Women's Street Fights always deliver.
Yeah.
I can't say that for certain. I haven't seen it, but it sounds good. So sorry, everybody, in advance. We will not be covering Rampage today. But if you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button, give us a subscribe, leave a comment down below with what you thought. Maybe tell us what happened on Rampage and send in those Omega chats. Get better soon, Kenny, to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5. Not your stinking Canadian dollars.
Blame Canada. That's their other national anthem.
But let's start with the main event of the episode. The fourth? Third? But they wrestled in WWE or something.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah, like, you know, in 2001 when they first split up.
Yeah. But this is the end of this trilogy of fights. We had the just a straight singles match at...
World End? Well, that was the World's End was the second one.
Yeah, what was... Which pay-per-view...
Was it out of pay-per-view? Was it on
was
a Dynamite?
Maybe it was Dynamite. Yeah. I can't remember. But then we had the no DQ match at World's End where Christian won.
Well,
sorry, Ed Copeland
won.
And then Killswitch cashed in that very hastily booked you get a shot at the TNT title card. And Killswitch let Christian take that from him. And now we get the... rubber match, kind of.
Yeah, this is the final part of their trilogy. It's where their careers started. It is where their rivalry is going to end. Their friendship is all done. And Copeland thought, well, if there's going to be the end of our rivalry, I might just try murder.
Mm.
I think I will win this match via the idea of attempted murder.
Yeah. I'd prefer murder to getting a spiked paddle to my dick, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably I'd go out.
So you'd have quit on the Janice to the knob.
Yeah, yeah. I would have. Not death by that schnoo. Not for me. But yes, it was a I quit match.
When they were keeping it to a minimum. They didn't start asking until sort of like the 2/3 point of the match of like, what do you say, Copeland? And then you get. No.
By the way, love the match.
Great match.
Great episode in general. But I've just got like two bits that I would have done slightly differently if it was me.
Oh, you WWE shill.
I would have had one tracking shot of the entire match.
It's not a tracking shot. It's a wanna. Come on, everyone.
I would have had this TLC. I felt in the no DQ match back at World's End, they got out the ladders, they got out the tables, they got out the chairs. I'm like, yeah, because of the shared history and TLC, and we can have a TLC blow-off match. That's a great escalation. And I love ladder matches.
Yeah.
And you can put, you've got a belt.
Well, also, they had TLC within this match.
Mm. So for me, I think a TLC match would have been more fitting for their history. But I get this story, you know, you want to kill Christian. You want him to say, I quit.
Yeah, I think that's it, because you can't do the Janus finish if you don't have the I quit stipulation.
Yeah, well, in my version, you wouldn't have introduced Janus, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think I would have done either, like,
4 days before. Yeah, I was on the phone to Foley, and I'm going to bring a big nailed bat.
Turns out we all thought Abyss was producing for WWE. Secretly, he's handing Adam Copeland weapons.
So this was really fun. It felt like a really big match feel as well, because the whole crowd are going like, holy yes, from the get-go.
They enjoyed all of the hockey references. Mm-hmm. There was a moment when Adam Copeland went into the crowd and got a Maple Leafs jersey, and he also got a different jersey for a baddie team.
I think Tempest is wearing his Maple Leafs jersey upstairs.
Yeah.
And he said the other one was the Boston Bruins.
Boston Bruins,
I think.
Yeah.
And they are sworn enemies of the maple trees.
Yeah, yeah. Because Boston's in Canada, right?
I think, yeah, because Canada's a state in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've got the exact same currency. Mm-hmm. And food styles,
yeah,
I think, and people. Mm. But anyway, so they did that. So they put the sworn enemies of the Boston lads onto Christian, which got a great reaction. They had a hockey net out at one point. They used hockey sticks as weapons. I think Tempest even said they were brawling in the penalty box area of where the basketball games usually take place. I did that one on purpose. And yeah, so like, I think people very much enjoyed the hockiness of it all.
Yeah, which great for them. I don't really get any of those references. I mean, I can clearly see they're brawling around a hockey net, but like, good for them. What I really got into,
local town heat, and it was good for it.
Was the innovation around the tables, ladders, and chairs? We had Christian do a dive outside. You know, he sort of mm-hmm. peeps that dive through a table with Edge. There was an Edge-O-Matic on a ladder bridge.
Yep.
We got the ladder turned upside down like a V, and Christian was just dropped on the support beams.
Split the uprights.
Yeah. And we had a concerto with a barbed wire chair.
Yeah.
It was missed.
It was taken to new levels of brutality. I suppose the reason why they wouldn't have done a TLC match is they've not done a TLC match in AEW before.
Mm.
It's a WWE gimmick, I suppose. Which, so they were like, oh, we'll just do a standard wrestling trope as opposed to doing a branded WWE match, which you then just have to give a new name. Because I think in TNA, do they call it Full Metal Mayhem?
Oh, yeah. Well, what sort of lame insider reference would you call it? Because, of course, War Games is blood and guts in AEW.
Yeah, what other things have been labeled against that? Where's the story match?
Yeah. So they're
show a video package. I don't know Titan is match.
They're having a great match, and then out comes the teams. Shayna Wayne. I either say Shayna Wayne like you do, or Martha Wayne, because I made a mistake months ago. Shayna Wayne comes out and like hits Edge, and then Killswitch and Nick Wayne come down and they're beating up Edge. But look, here's Daniel Garcia and Daddy Magic, and they actually handcuff all the heels mm-hmm. to the turnbuckles.
Apart from Mother Wayne, who bailed.
She runs away.
I thought we were going to get a Beth Phoenix cameo.
I forgot about that. And it's by this point now, Copeland has it won. It's just a matter of how. And it's quite a nice visual sort of for the feud. To have Nick Wayne and Killswitch, the sons, have to watch their abusive father, essentially, be humiliated.
Yeah.
And Copeland goes over to Christian and just does those kicks really fast, like Will Ospreay does to someone's head.
It's like Kawada kicks to his nuts.
To his dick.
Yeah.
And Christian's like, no, no, no. I'm like, oh, cool, okay. Now they're going to get the spike, because he gets out the spike thing, and he's... Just before he does it in the nuts.
I quit, I quit, I quit.
I quit, I quit, quit. And then he does it anyway.
Yeah.
And that is a perfect, for me, metaphorical castration of this abusive, toxically masculine figure in front of Killswitch and Nick Wayne, where you go after that saying, I quit, all that stuff. And, you know, this is my sort of second other thing I would have done. I would have done that. But instead, Copeland just hits it, the nailed paddleboard to the scrotum.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian's like, no, I don't quit. No, he should have done it.
No, actually, I'm okay. It's quite nice, actually.
So then Copeland runs towards Christian, going towards his head with this nailed bat.
Yep.
And Christian's like, actually, no, stop, I quit. For me, that was a bit too far.
Yes, that was attempted murder, or, you know, attempted murder, perhaps. I also don't think that the crowd were kind of like, it didn't get the big pop. I think the ball shot got a bigger reaction than the potential of I quit for the thing. Okay, the best thing about doing a TLC match is you have the visual.
Mm.
And it's perhaps where I quit matches slightly fall down, is that you are waiting for someone to say words as opposed to getting a big visual thing. It's an audio-based thing. But I thought it was still very, very cool, very effective. I thought the match was great. I thought the match was really, really good. I think I enjoyed their World's End match more.
Yeah, I agree.
But this was like a great TV madcap main event. I thought the brawling throughout the building was really fun. You could tell that they were both in their element, and they were both like lapping up the sort of the Canadianess of it all. So I really enjoyed it from that aspect. And, you know, Killswitch and Nick Wayne getting their comeuppance, Daddy Magic and Danny Garcia getting their moments. I suppose the question is next, what do you do with what do you do next with Copeland?
Mm. Yeah, so he's the TNT champion right now. And of course Okada won one of those belts.
They did say last week it was for just one of the belts, which I thought was silly.
We'll get on to that. So you've now got Okada and Copeland, main event talent, people who could legit be the world champion in this promotion, holding, you know, no offense, mid-card belts.
In one case, I would say a lower mid-card belt.
Yeah. So now it's like, oh, wow. People often say that why not treat your mid-card title as important as your main world title? And right now, they've certainly stacked up the star power to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Moxley won the International Championship. And you're like, oh, wow, there's like a former AEW world champion, multi-time AEW world champion. Is now, he really wants to win this belt, and now he has won it. So I feel we've got the same thing here with Copeland. I think Cage has done an incredible job elevating this title and making it feel important. So Copeland gunning for that and getting the win, I think, is going to do great jobs for that belt. Okada, I'm unsure on, because the belt does feels like it doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot.
Which one?
the Continental Crown title.
No.
Yeah.
Continental title.
Yes, what is it?
No. The Continental Crown
is all three of them.
All three.
So the Continental Championship,
mm-hmm.
which is different to the International Championship. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you just combine those two together, you'll have an Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. But I think someone's made that joke on this podcast before. I don't know if it's worked the same way on that one. I thought Eddie's promo that they posted up on social media was like really good in actually selling the loss more than I thought they did on TV.
I think the Copeland being champion and Okada, that helps TV. If you can get this belt defended on TV and it feels like a big thing for Collision as well, that will help, hopefully, the ratings and audiences for those shows. But yeah, in terms of who's next for Copeland,
Garcia
is the easiest.
Because they had the match, didn't they? Garcia and Copeland, which was sort of like a number one contendership thing. So that'll be a direction for them. But really, like, the end goal of this is Copeland and Christian as a tag team. Like, that's, you know, that was Copeland laid that out in his first promo, was this will end up being me and you as a tag team. And that's how we're going to end out our career the same way we started it.
So it'd be interesting to see how they get to that, because I feel like I'm very invested in the Killswitch patriarchy story. So Killswitch has got to turn on Nick Wayne and Christian and be a babyface.
But what if it's the other way around? What if it's Killswitch and Nick Wayne turning heel to turn Christian babyface? Because Copeland's whole thing is that they are going to turn their backs on you. So unless it's them going to turning babyface and leaving the group, it's turning Christian babyface and kicking him out of the group.
I'm struggling to see, considering what Christian has been like, how Nick Wayne and Killswitch standing up to him will turn them heel.
Christian,
I don't know how you get there.
Christian's well popular, I guess. Yeah. So perhaps that will be what helps.
We'll see.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's see what all your Omega chats say. Once I get the thing up, which I should have done already, and here it is. Sammy Boy says, timing can really be a bitch, I think. This story would have been perfect for Brody Jr., the forever champ, to take the belt off of Christian. The dead father fetish story wrote itself. Wish Christian would have taunted Jr. and Adam stood up for him. A fantasy what if. It's like... You know, those sorts of things can be gratuitous if used.
That
more
has a little bit of like Eddie's not up there. He's it's got a little bit of that to it.
Yeah, I think AW generally have towed a very good line of when to use that stuff. I think suddenly inserting him in here just for that would have been a bit odd. I don't think that's just a timing issue. Slider 5597. I laughed way too hard when one of the commentators, I think it was Taz, actually called Copeland Edge by accident, and the other people in the room looked at me weird because they either missed it or weren't wrestling fans, so they didn't know.
That sounds like it'd be a Taz thing.
Brett J. Rasmussen, can you please summon Tempest for a little bit on this episode, just so he can talk about his thoughts on this main event and all of the Canadianness of it? Rampage was great too. Great promos from Bullet Club Gold and Acclaimed. Main event Rampage was amazing.
I can tell you that Tempest really enjoyed this. We had a meeting and we're on our way back. He was talking about how he was putting together a list of his favorite I Quit matches. And he thinks this will feature in there.
Oh, wow.
Of his favorite I Quit matches ever. He really, really liked it.
Just one other thing on the match itself. Did it dip? The production dipped at like...
Yes. So
15 seconds before.
So because it was a 3 hour Dynamite, because there was the Hour of Rampage on directly after it, the finish of the match actually took place on Rampage. So they had the 5-minute overrun for Dynamite, but then the sort of the last 20, 30 seconds of the match took place on Rampage, which I thought smug, as A, using that 5-minute overrun to kind of get in people who were, you know, potentially accidentally tuning in for the next show, but B, as a way to kind of
all those people tuning in for Rampage.
Because I, you know, the show on Fight finished, and I loaded up Rampage to watch the final minute or so of the match, and I did find myself just like, if I didn't have to come in for work, and I watched this before I left, and the Bullet Club Gold promo started, I was like, oh, just I'll start making my notes for this. So I think it's a pretty smart move to do it that way.
Hannah Allen says, hello, lovelies. This was sick. From the Renee announcing Eddie to the different entrance angles, this is my wrestling. But earlier today, mwah, kiss. Everything feels electric and I love it. Osprey gets props again and Okada is hot. Lots of love, jam that jam. 404 Fatal Error. Last night was my first ever live event and my ears are still ringing from us booing Don Callis. Legitimately could not hear a word he was saying. Take that, Dominic. I think they pipe it in. Otherwise, I almost got a full bingo card of people I wanted to see. Great stuff.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. That's great.
F Scorpion 678, Ospreay versus Shibata and Takeshita versus Swerve. I effing love this company. The feeling is back, bruv. Unfortunately, not the ratings.
No.
But which I said that last week.
You did, but you've also said as well that the proof is in ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
And ticket sales were up for this week.
I don't think you can judge last week and this week. That those are like really well promoted one-off ones, I feel. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not wishing for AEW's death or anything, but for me, I think people only have enough time, generally, the mainstream audience certainly, to watch and follow one wrestling product.
That's why the argument has always been you can only ever have one hot wrestling promotion at any one time. It's almost impossible to have two running hot.
And all you can do is just put on the best product you can and wait for your time for the other one to go down.
Yeah.
And I think AEW are putting on some of the best content they ever have, but people are already hooked into WrestleMania.
Yeah, so no, absolutely.
Any of these, it doesn't matter about I feel the feelings back, but I don't think we're going to see any ratings change for a month or two. I hope we do.
The other thing with the ratings discussion as well is, there have been some people who've done some really good statistical analysis on this, and from 2019 to now, AEW is about 600,000 viewers down from where they were in 2019. It's actually about 400,000 viewers, I think.
Cumulatively?
As an average of where they were to the end of 2019, so that very short period of time, compared to sort of where we are in this short period of time, start of 2024, it's about sort of 400,000 to 600,000 viewers down. Raw's the same. Despite the fact that WWE is as hot as it currently is, its ratings compared to 2019 are down the same percentage that AEW's ratings are down. So it may just be that the product's not hot, people aren't interested, Mercedes Moné's not a draw, Copeland's not a draw, Will Ospreay's not a draw. It could be a whole, it could be all of these things. Or it could just be the wrestling audience has gone. Cable cutting, cord cutting is a thing. People are moving into watching in different ways. So while the ratings aren't like, I don't think they're ever going to really go up, because I think that AEW has hit a ceiling in the same way I think that Raw has hit a ceiling.
Ronan C says, has a wrestler done more of an injustice to a song than Chris Jericho bringing back Electric Head Part 2 as his current theme?
I get to hear White Zombie on TV every week. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to downplay Chris Jericho's involvement in AEW for the entrance. Everything. Once the music stops, I've got zero cares to give. But I get to hear White Zombie on TV.
Nick Smith, just give us a quick review of Rampage without having watched it. Why not? It works for Eric Bischoff. Very good, Nick.
Very good, Nick.
The Vaporwave Mothman says, I just need to state that Okada is the perfect heel with all the ability to back it up. With Rousey and Becky Lynch books being released, is there a certain wrestler's biography that you would want to be made? I mean, the Vince McMahon autobiography, the Vince McMahon biography written by Dave Meltzer. He's always said he wouldn't do it because it's too much.
Yeah, it's too much, too
much. But my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everyone's kind of like written their books. that I'd be super interested in. An Osprey book would be really interesting because you've got a lot of the British independence stuff, which is not often talked about in you know, on a larger scale. So I'd probably go for someone like him.
The Dixie Carter book.
Yeah.
Let's get back into the main show and do the play-by-play. The show started with Mercedes Moné being welcomed out. They didn't announce her this time either for the start of the show. And
they did advertise she was going to be on the show.
Not in the first segment, though. I was being glib.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I was being glib last week that I said I thought the debut was great. I just really wish they'd played a video package beforehand so the casual audience knew who she was. Mm-hmm. And they did it on this week's show.
Yeah, so she comes out and she introduces her own video package. And the video package plays. It sort of explains where she's been for the last 2 years, which is red carpets and New Japan Pro Wrestling.
For 3 months.
she spoke about her potentially career-threatening ankle injury that Willow Nightingale gave her, of all people. And then she does this.
Yeah, well, she'd said this, that minor setbacks make for major comebacks, and she's here to make this revolution global. It was kind of the same promo she cut last week, really.
Mm.
And then the lights went out. Julia Hart and Sky Blue attempted to attack, but Moné more or less was fighting them off. And then Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander ran out to over-even the odds.
Yeah.
and to build their tag match for Rampage.
And there was a really good moment where Willow Nightingale was just suddenly behind Mercedes with a chair.
Yeah.
And just for a few moments, it was like, oh, is she going to hit her with a chair? When I think Statlander's going to be the one to do that. Or maybe even Mercedes hits Willow with a chair.
Yeah, could be. Because she's obviously got her issues with Willow Nightingale thrown to the through the injury.
Yeah, and then later on, we'll just jump to this backstage. Rene is talking to Statlander, Nightingale, and Stokely Hathaway, and Mercedes enters and thanks. Chris thanks her for having Willow's back last week. Willow goes to apologize for the ankle break thing, and Rene kind of fobs her off. And Stokely Hathaway has this great line, which is like, why are you so scared of her? You already broke her ankle.
Yeah, I think putting Moné in the TBS picture, me and Tempo were talking about this last week, I think it's interesting because it does delay the inevitable, which is pushing her into that main event scene of you know, doing her versus Toni Storm. But I'm kind of glad they didn't just go straight into the putting her in the big program with the Women's World Champion.
All the titles are equal now. All the titles are just going to be held by your biggest stars and they're never going to cross over.
Which is, you know, certainly one way to do it. But I'm glad they didn't just put it, because I think if you'd have put Moné into a program straight away with Toni Storm and then Moné won, it would have had real TNA in 2007 vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've been somewhere else? Yep. Come here. Come become here. The world champion.
I'm paying you a lot to be here. You'd better win a belt.
So I wasn't on the podcast last week.
You were not.
So I haven't really spoken about in this, you know, forum. My thoughts on the Mercedes run so far.
Yeah. CEO.
You gotta help people to know what to chant. I don't begrudge that. I think it's excessive, but I get the game there.
Do you know what I think's excessive of it? Because I think baking the chant into the theme song is pretty smart. It's on screen and it's like clip art. You've done the animation in PowerPoint.
Yeah.
That's more where I'm like, that's a bit lame.
And it's 8 times. if that was just a normal chant, it would have fizzled out before the 7th time. So yeah, obviously she said the comments in the podcast interview that she's, you know, oh, I'll go back to WWE eventually, and you know that wasn't meant to be released, but it did come out, and that just says in my head, oh, which group of people are you in? Are you in the like, yeah, I'm gonna really like try, obviously everyone tries, but like I'm really gonna wed myself to this promotion? Or are you in the other group of people where it's like, I'll do this and then I'll go back to WWE?
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem for a wrestler to be like, I'm not loyal to this company.
I think it is, you know, a week before you're about to debut.
I also, well, okay, so there's two elements to this. One, at that point, the idea that she was signing with AEW was not a public thing. So to just say, oh yeah, I'll go back to WWE at some point, was a way to be like,
when was that interview recorded though?
It's like 2 weeks ago. So oh, it was like, it was before her AEW debut.
But that's after Big Business was announced for Boston.
Yes, but she was not announced for that show.
Oh, it's as good as.
I know it's as good as, but it's the answer. And so the PW Insider report on this, because I agree, like I think it paints her in a really bad light. Just before you debut for the other promotion, you're saying, eventually I'm going to go back to the competition. I don't think it paints AEW. It doesn't make AEW look good. I don't think it makes her look good either. I was listening to a WWE fan podcast, and they are like a WWE, they're a WWE branded fan podcast, and they're laughing. Like they're pissing themselves being like, I mean, like why is she even going there? Because she wants to go back to WWE. But the PW Insider report on it was that it wasn't meant to be a sound as much of a slight against AEW. What she was trying to say was, I started in WWE, I'd have unfinished business in WWE, so I would like to finish some of that business before I retire. It was less of a case of, this is a stopgap for me.
I think it's very, yeah, but just any media training shouldn't, like, you should be very...
Which she'd have thought she's done a fair amount of, given how much she is currently doing. But I thought what's interesting, if that PW Insider report is to be believed, that WWE offered her the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. And she opted to go to AEW instead. So it wasn't a money-based thing. It was I thought the most interesting thing from that PW Insider report was one of her big reasons to go. Well, the two big reasons to go was, A, if you go to WWE, that becomes your priority. Like, you have to do all of their shows. You have to do all of the house shows. And that means that while you can do outside projects, they're your secondary priority. WWE is your main priority. Going to AEW, you're working at most 3 days a week. If you do Dynamite, Collision, and a pay-per-view, more often you're going to be doing 1 or 2 days a week. But B, she's now in with Warner Brothers Discovery. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the reasons why she signed, is because she's now gotten in to get with top brass with WBD to get into their franchises and their properties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't mean to get derailed so much by that particular bit because...
I just thought it was interesting.
It is. The actual debut, and Meltzer said it today in his review of last night. So have you listened to that yet?
I have not, though.
It's like he said, he compared it to the Ospreay promo, which I just thought was excellent.
So
he's just smashing it out of the park. Every time he comes out, it just feels like he is just chatting. Doesn't feel rehearsed in any way. When Mercedes comes out, it feels very produced. And he said it feels very WWE. And he doesn't, you know, it's fine. He wasn't like doing it down, but he said like AEW should probably try and be more AEW than WWE. And when she's like saying stuff like, take this women's revolution global, I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Well, you're considering that AEW don't tour outside of the US much.
And it just comes across as empty platitudes. That's the last hitting line of this week's promo. I'm like, I don't know what you've just said. It's nonsense.
I think the bigger thing is that I was basically the ending line of last week's promo. Mm-hmm. That was my big issue I had with this opening promo, was that she said nothing new that she didn't say last week.
And she just introduced her own video package. Like, that to me is... I would criticize that so much when WWE
feels like WWE in 2019, of like someone comes out and is like, and here's a video package to remind everyone of what happened the last week. And it's you know, it's a WWE writer that is writing her things. And one of the things that people did not like about AEW last year was when it was trying to be sports entertainment, when it was moving away from being pro wrestling and being sports entertainment with all of MJF stuff.
I just want her to become a heel. I've never been into her, even as Sasha Banks as a babyface. Like, it just doesn't connect with me. I don't think she's obviously a very good wrestler, but character-wise, she's not a babyface to me.
Yeah, yeah.
When she's a heel, oh my God, and I can see it right there. Willow Nightingale is 2015 NXT Bayley.
Oh man, that's a really good shout,
Just have Mercedes team with her for a bit. I'm hoping this is where we're going, so I'm not doing it down. I'm just like, okay, we've got to do a couple of months before we get to the thing. Mm-hmm. They're teaming together, they're taking on the TBS title stuff, and then Mercedes turns on her, she wins the TBS title, and then we get a long story of Willow trying to get the belt off her, and she fails, and she tries, and she fails, and she tries, and then she wins. That's what I want.
What we need, though, is we need like a 12-year-old girl that becomes the biggest Willow fan that's at every show.
Yes.
So Mercedes can bully her in the front row and make her cry.
Like that. That is...
That's Banks.
Sasha Banks. That's Mercedes. So to bring her in as a overproduced... Like, I can't think of one thing of substance she's actually said yet. Babyface. I wouldn't have done, but hopefully it's because we're going to the heel turn.
I remember when Punk first came into AEW and I was like, said to someone, I was like, did you see the promo? And he said, yeah. And I said, like, oh, what did you think? He's like, wake me up when he turns heel. I was like, because that's when I'm going to be interested in CM Punk in AEW is when he turns heel.
I think that's unfair because Punk is a very good talker and character as either, but of course he's much better as a heel. Mm. With Mercedes, I'm saying I'm not interested in a really at all.
Yeah,
when she's a babyface.
Yeah. 2 weeks in, I've yet to see what her character is.
Yes.
Conversely, two weeks in, I know everything I need to know about Kazuchika Okada.
He's got a sports car. He's Japanese, and he is gonna beg off in a match and hit you with a sneaky move.
Because obviously you did see last week's show when they made Marvez sing happy birthday to Matthew. And then in this week, it was like they were bullying Marvez again to be like, next time, I want you to do this interview with Okada in Japanese. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Duolingo?
So next we get the first match, which is Okada versus Kingston for only the Continental Championship. And we had this in a message. They got this NFL-style presentation where Renee's just doing a rundown of exactly what's about to happen on the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate trying out new things. I want to see the entrance.
You got to see the entrance.
I didn't get my Eddie entrance. This was a very good match. I don't think it was a top-tier great match, but I think it was a very good match. I feel like it was a really good match to set up the bigger match.
Yeah.
Where there's more emotion that Eddie can fuel himself off of.
I've got one major criticism of this, which is there was no focus on Eddie after the title loss.
So that's it. After Okada wins in, you know, one Rainmaker, it is all Okada. That's fine. He just won the title, confetti. But then it's all Pac. Pac comes out to set up the next match. There was nothing on Eddie. Not a single shot of Eddie's face reacting to this belt he's just lost. And the opening of the match, someone's talking through Eddie's entrance.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, I'm an Eddie fan, like, full disclaimer, I'm biased here. But he went through a lot of stuff to win this title. And this is the end of it. And I feel a bit underserved as a Kingston fan.
I completely agree with you. I thought the most fascinating thing about this match was watching in real time Okada work out how to do 15-minute TV matches. He had this sudden realization of just like, oh, what? I've only got 5 minutes left. Well, I need to get to the finish. I've been doing my warm-up. I've been in the first 10 minutes of my usual matches.
It's a really strange experience to watch Okada like this. Not just because of that, but he's doing Ric Flair.
Yeah, begging off, all that stuff, the distracting of the referee, the raking of the eyes and stuff.
Yeah. So that's what it was. The really good back and forth stuff. Okada had some welts on his chest early.
Yeah,
Kingston's like, I'm in Japan still if you want.
Good chops from Eddie on this. But yeah, Eddie had this social media promo that I thought was really good where it was like,
yeah, I haven't seen this.
I tried my best to make this title important and I failed. So I hope you do better. Because it's Eddie beating himself up, being like, I don't think I did this title justice. Because his biggest critic is himself. I just wish they'd never introduced this title. Yeah. I think it muddied the waters of the C2. And I don't think we need 3 mid-card titles.
Yeah, because what's actually happened is they have snuck in another belt as of right now.
Yeah.
The Ring of Honor world title is now on Eddie. And then Okada's it. So now, yeah, we've got 2 belts.
Yeah. We have 3 mid-card titles. I think that's excessive.
So this is a difficult segment to talk about. Enjoyed the match. Okada's a champion. Perfect. I think from debut to winning, shortest ever amount of time in AEW. Next match is against Pac. Oh my God, Okada versus Pac. But also, Eddie Kingston's been massively underserved.
Mm-hmm.
And the title stuff is getting out of hand. The amount of titles, that is.
Yeah.
Then we get Hook versus Jericho. This was a fun match.
I struggled. I just struggled with it, man. Because I don't... I've seen Jericho put over younger guys, but I don't... It does nothing for me.
So what it was, Hook just suplexed Jericho in the first move. Was it the Jericho-Kingston match? And he did something similar.
Yeah, and he landed.
And Jericho like, landed right on the neck.
Jericho put over Eddie Kingston. Mm. Yeah, I remember that.
So we got that here, and Jericho... You know, you can say a lot about Jericho. He's a good, very good in-ring wrestler. He's selling his neck and like he's got a stinger. But Hook just suplex. Brief comeback from Jericho. Red Rum locked in. Jericho got out of the Red Rum and the crowd are like, he's going to win. Boo! And then thankfully, Hook rolled him up very quickly.
I would say this was a mixed response for Jericho here because while the AEW fans were booing him, they're also Canadian and they see another Canadian in the ring. So they're like, boo, but countrymen. So yeah, hey. I guess. Hey, yeah, boo. Man. I quite like him. And he likes hockey as well. His dad was a hockey player. So I've seen Chris Jericho put over Powerhouse Hobbs and it goes nowhere. I've seen Chris Jericho put over Takeshita and it goes nowhere. I've seen Chris Jericho put over Action Andretti and it goes nowhere. So I'm not buying it. He is the Triple H of AEW.
So Alvarez talked about this again in the Wrestling Observer Radio, and he said Jericho does put over people in the matches. Like his job as a pro wrestler is he cannot do that anymore if you look at those things, especially like the Hobbs match and Andretti and this. So it's actually the fault of the booker because of the follow-up of booking those people. I guess what me and you would say is, yeah, but I feel like Jericho is influencing the booker to make the follow-up.
Yeah, he's got a lot of sway in AEW. Mm-hmm.
Adam Cole is sitting on a chair in his very big house in the country. And I thought this was a good promo. This felt like old Adam Cole.
Yes. I feel like I'm the negative Nancy on this episode, which I think is funny because I imagine people probably call me an AEW shill because I was defending the Mercedes stuff earlier. But I've got a bit of a worry here, if I may. When Wardlow joined Undisputed Kingdom, where this Ultra Chat came in, I think it was on their first promo segment. I think it was an Ultra Chat came in that said, like, I can't believe they've done Wardlow dirty like this. He spent all this time being MJF's lackey, and now he's just Adam Cole's lackey. Like, where's the character development in that? And you and I were like, no, you saw Wardlow's expression during that Adam Cole promo segment. He's not a lackey. He knows that he is being used, but he doesn't care because he's like, I'm not going to hand the title over to him anyway. And that's going to be part of the story. So when Adam Cole just cuts this promo being like, your job now is to protect Taven, Bennett and Roddy. I'm like, oh no, are you just going to be Adam Cole's lackey now? And that's the new story. And MJF's going to come in and save Wardlow from being Adam Cole's lackey. Because I think that's doing Wardlow a disservice.
I agree with you. So when I said this was a good Adam Cole promo, I meant very well delivered.
Very well delivered.
I totally agree with you on all the content and those concerns. Because the Wardlow we've been sold doesn't do that role. He's moved past that and it feels like a big step backwards. However, when you said MJF saving him, that does. But then Wardlow turned on him. Why would MJF save him that?
He's a good guy now.
I did like Adam Cole's delivery of the line. I'm disappointed because... you should be the AEW World Champion by now. Jericho's walking backstage. You can hear boos from the Toronto crowd. He puts over Hook as a future World Champion and said he's got a proposition for him next week on Dynamite.
FCW Championship match at Dynasty?
Oh, I thought there isn't a one wild card slot remaining of the tag tournament.
Oh, they have got a tag name as well.
Yeah, and like Jericho and... That was meant for Jericho and Sammy.
Yeah, you're absolutely...
Put a hook in.
Absolutely right. I didn't even think of that, but you're absolutely right.
Will Ospreay is so over.
Now we're talking about the good stuff on this show.
Bruv. He comes in just... I'm just not used to it. My eyes will not believe how my two worlds have collided. And he just cuts this... Awesome, genuinely delivered promo. It doesn't feel like a wrestling promo, but it serves the purpose of a wrestling promo.
The most incredible thing about Will Ospreay in AEW is that it feels like he's been there since day one. Mm. The way that this crowd react to him, he feels like he has been there from the very beginning. The reality is he's been there for 3 weeks,
But he just feels like the top guy and like the most over babyface of this entire promotion.
There's part of me that's like, give him the belt before Swerve. Yeah. Like I think he's just shot up so much. Like, who's got the momentum right now? And I love Swerve, but you know, a couple of months ago, Swerve was here, and now he's here. Just a little bit of a decline, I would say. But Ospreay is up here.
Yeah,
he's so good. He had this line that he starts with. I apologize. Last time I was here, I was a bit of a naughty boy. He was a heel. He beat up a Mager on his head.
Well, he wiped his bum on the Canadian flag and put up his nose.
And then he said, but, you know, accept me into your hearts or whatever, and you can give me some of that good old maple syrup. And I thought, anybody else saying that line,
yeah,
they get, like, you are two steps away from being Roman Reigns 2015.
I think the difference there is that it's, anyone else would have had that line written for them.
Mm.
Ospreay is just saying what the first thing that comes to him.
Yeah.
And that's what he thought.
It does feel like he's I think he delivered it perfectly and it works. And then he has this great line off the back of the Collision promo that Danielson did, that you've got to step into my shoes. He said, bruv, I can't step into your shoes. They're too small.
You want me to prove it, bruv? Oi, Shibata. I know, we'll have a match next week. I know I'll tell you what happened last time. Last time we had a match together, I got the crap kicked out of me.
I had the bloody piss
beat out of me. But he says, that was when I was 23 years old. I'm 30 years old now. Do you know what difference that is? I've got two pugs, three cats. I've got a kid. I've got a missus. I've got a mortgage to pay.
And a point to prove. Awesome promo. Yes. Yes, I want to see him versus Shibata. Yes, I want to see him versus Danielson. Ospreay, this is wrestling promo 101.
It's exactly what me and Temper said last week when he did a promo. It's like he's going out there and cutting wrestling promos that promote matches that you want to see.
Mm. Tony Storm and Mariah May then tagged together against Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa. It was an uneasy alliance. Thunder Rosa, did a weird tagging of it. She sort of like tapped Deonna on the shoulder. Deonna looks at her and she goes, you know, not the smoothest blind tag I've ever seen. I'm over here, blind tag.
I quite like that though, because that is like, I'm not going to blind tag behind you. I'm going to let you know that I'm tagging myself into this match.
She was so far away from the ring post. I'm like, no ring rope is going that far for you to make that tag. Anyway, then Deonna's like, I was kind of running mid-sequence there. I'm a bit miffed. But Thunder Rosa gets a jackknife?
Yeah, she got jackknife.
Jackknife pin on the champion, Tony Storm.
Yeah, and Deonna Purrazzo. I thought Purrazzo's selling of this was really good, which is that, I mean, yeah, we won, but it's not what I had in mind when I brought you in to be my mystery tag partner for this match.
Yeah, because Rosa is, in her mind, she's the main character. I'm going to get the title I never lost back.
Yeah.
So I think we're probably building to Rosa versus Storm.
I think that's probably where the next match is, yeah.
Swerve earlier had said he wants to fight someone big and he's making an open challenge. And I thought, this would be a good place for Wardlow to come out.
Oh, yeah, super pissed
Lost
off Wardlow.
To Joe, he's super pissed off, got a point to prove to the Undisputed Kingdom. And like, maybe don't even have a match. Like, just it's a brawl and the match doesn't get started. You've not announced it in advance. I think you can get away with that. And then it sort of puts the fear back in Adam Cole that, Wardlow. But it was the Butcher.
Yeah. A good big lad for him to be.
I love watching the Butcher wrestle.
Yeah. Dr. Robotnik.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I thought this was very good. And Swerve was here to debut his new finish, which is a submission. So it's a cross-arm breaker thing, which the crowd didn't know how to react to because he did his two usual finishes. Like, he did the swerve stomp and the house call and stuff. And I was like, yay! And then he stopped and was like setting up this new submission. The crowd was like, okay. That's interesting. He won.
New submission,
Yeah, come on, okay, yeah. Next time you do that, I'll probably react to it, which I think it's a smart thing because it's the Samoan submission machine. And now Swerve is setting up a move that he can use to potentially get a tap-out victory. They were putting over hard. This is his first submission win in AEW.
Afterwards, Swerve got on the mic and said he's going to keep on taking out security until he gets what he wants from Samoa Joe, which is a title shot. Joe comes out, says he's going to give Swerve exactly what he wants. because that's the only way to stop people like Strickland. But then out comes Don Callis. Oh my God, the heat.
They even pointed out, I was like, this is his countryman.
Yeah, but you saw what happened to Jericho earlier.
Oh, the boost for this was so great. You could barely hear what Don was trying to
say. Amazing.
But I loved the point that he made was like, Swerve, you've been on a great run, kid, but you've actually got the same amount of wins as Takeshita, who's undefeated this year outside of the Don Callis family.
Yeah.
And he sets up a match between the two of them next week, just sort of like an unofficial number one contenders match.
Yes, please. So next week, Shibata and Ospreay.
Yep.
And Takeshita Swerve. Like I said earlier, I don't think the ratings are going to really get out of their current stagnation.
Nope.
But my God, this is some good wrestling TV.
I think the proof was in the crowd reaction to them announcing they're doing Will versus Shibata next week, which is the crowd booed it. And that's because they're not getting to see that match. The next town is getting to see that match.
Used to get
that a lot in like early days AEW when they'd announce a big match tapping on Dynamite. People were like, oh, I wanted to see that match. I've got to watch that on TV from my own home instead. So I think that's like a potentially good sign of how stacked you're making these cards feel.
And they really are. And then it was the main event. So overall, I gave this 82%.
Mm.
Last couple I've given like, you know, in the 90s. Still a really enjoyable show, but there were too many bits that I would have done differently. You
know? Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, I think this is like a four out of five episode. Like, I think it's slightly pushed up to 4 out of 5 for the I Quit match, but I think it broadly is a 3 out of 5 show. Yeah.
Well, before we get into our remaining Omega chats, let's say a big thank you to our wonderful Pledge Hammers on Patreon, who will get After Dark, right? Did that go up yesterday?
It went up today.
Went up today
at 1 p.m. So yeah, you can go over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk and get WrestleTalk After Dark featuring myself, features Tempest, it features Pete, it features Dan Lane, it features Social Media Abby for a little bit as well. There's a good smorgasbord of opinions as we get some really interesting questions in there for this week's episode, or month's episode rather.
We've got 1,500 people watching live right now. You should all go over and become a patron.
So yeah, exclusive episodes, early access to our Monday Night War series doing, as well as the booking podcast that comes out with each episode as well. So go and check that out over at Patreon. Exclusive episode survival series that you're only going to see behind the Patreon paywall. And next week is our 3.5 hour review of WWE Payback 2014 featuring Bluetista.
Bluetista. Oh, we have some fun. As did Twitter. Bluetista's expense. And you also get a shout out on this very show. So thank you, Mr. Moneybags, Rich Holt.
Daylight Robbery, Rob James.
Yo, Adrian, Rocky.
Der Farm General, Roman Dietrich.
Ross Pooper, Scoopa Cooper.
Rue of the Day, Ruari O'Brien Kelly.
The Man with the Scoops, Sean.
The movie Luke has never seen, Selena.
The Pharaoh, Stephen Mazzaferro.
The Soul Survivor, 1993.
The Incredible Tarzo.
And lastly, for this Hall of Fame class on the 21st of March, 2024, keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Oh, the Rick Petch. I'm seeing them live.
Your Fred Durst impression is so on point. When are you seeing them live?
They're playing in Margate. I'm going to go see them.
A Dreamworld?
Yeah.
Wow.
So...
My grandparents are from Margate, so I know it very intimately. And yeah. I've been to Dreamworld so much. And in the last 5 years, well, they've been doing it. They always try and revamp Dreamworld as a trendy place.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to do that with Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit. Oh, yeah.
World's largest Wetherspoons is nearby.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's the perfect way to pre-drink before a Limp Bizkit concert.
I'll go there and I'll get a tepid Carlsberg or something.
Kind of Ruddles. £2.49.
I'm going on with Todd.
You're going by yourself.
Going on by myself. Well, no one else wants to go, so I'm going on my own.
Oh, I nearly said I'd come with you.
My wife thought
of the reality.
My wife said to me, I was like, what are you going to do? And I was like, we're going to watch the band.
Yeah.
She's like, are you going to like... She's like, you can't go into the pit. You're nearly 40. I was like, everyone's going to be nearly 40. It's like, we're all going to be the same age. It's absolutely fine. She's like, what are you going to do? Just like sing along. I was like, yeah, probably. And she couldn't fathom it. I was like, I used to go to gigs on my own all the time. When I was a student, I used to go to gigs quite a lot on me, Todd.
I go to the cinema still all the time by myself. When is it?
I can't remember now.
Mm. Well, maybe one of the Swap Nation will go.
Yeah, if anyone's going, yeah, I'll go. You know, look me up.
Please do send in your remaining Omega chats, wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5 before the end of the show. Outer Rim Observer, Memberg for 21 months, says, I'm so sorry for Christian's gems after that horrid spike attack, and still he said no afterwards. Such a legend.
Very good.
Breezy Streamy, in spite of AEW having 30 give or take title belts, Bryan Danielson hasn't held a title in 4 years, 8 months, and 16 days. Danielson says he doesn't want to be a champion, but don't you think the AEW world title would benefit from him in its lineage?
I guess as a piece of history, but if the story and the time doesn't call for it, then no, I don't think you need to give it to him.
Well, I think you can. I think Breezy Streamy's point might be you're in charge of what happens. You can make the story call for it, yeah. And Danielson is going to retire soon. Hmm. You probably should have given him a world title run. Considering his mainstream appeal.
Well, if he doesn't need one. And does he have mainstream appeal?
I would say yes. Compared, you know, comparatively to everyone else on the roster.
Comparatively to Samoa Joe, perhaps, yeah.
The RB Stream. Long-time watcher, first-time Omega chatter. Love it. I think you're misreading Monet Willow. I think Mercedes was supposed to turn faster and not talk to Chris. And Willow was trying to explain she wasn't meaning to strike her, just was looking for Julia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's what I got from it. Sorry. Dolk Dogan says, how do you think MJF should make his first appearance returning to AEW?
Depends on when he's ready.
As the devil.
Oh, that's very good. So
the devil starts haunting Adam Cole.
Yeah. That's good. I like that.
I don't know. I just thought that.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to bring back the Observer worst gimmick of 2023. Let's run that back.
That's why I think it's likely. MJF will just do it to troll people.
Lean into it.
Kazoo. 2 3-hour shows this week felt incredibly weird, but I hope it's not permanent for AEW. Raw is already enough. Great show. Happy that Adam finally got his revenge. And what an ending. Eddie gave it his all, but it simply wasn't enough against Okada.
Yeah, it's not a permanent thing for AEW.
I like that Ultra Chat.
Hmm.
Ultra Chat. Omega Chat. It was just a recap of of what happened.
That's good.
It's like Renee standing on the ramp. Josh Guionet. I feel like Mercedes' character of being the CEO would work better if she was paired into the corporate elite with the Bucks and Okada. What are your thoughts?
I like that.
I really like that. Hot tag to you.
We have an unknown username. Please do let our moderators know in the chat. That's a Streamlabs issue. He said, I think last night's show was good aside from some audio issues. I don't mind the focus not being on Eddie because to me, a part of the story was the Bucks were producing that match. So of course, they wouldn't pay attention to Eddie and give Okada the focus.
That is a good kayfabe explanation, actually. That's actually really cool. Mm-hmm. So the commentators should point that out.
Yeah. Kat said, it's not Jericho's fault. Guys like Andretti, Hobbs, and Takeshita are getting nothing from beating him. TK is the head booker of AEW and has the final say. I don't like that Jericho's being treated like a scapegoat for guys not getting over. He does have an enormous amount of sway.
Yeah, so this is like the Alvarez point that I brought up. And it's like, let's use Ricky Starks as an example. Like Ricky Starks, he was getting over. He beat Jericho, but then he's in the Jericho feud for 3 months.
Yeah.
And Jericho has creative influence.
Yeah.
He could have said, nah, I think it's killing him.
Yeah.
But in Jericho's mind, he probably thought, no, I'm going to help this kid get over.
Yeah. Like Jericho came and was like, guys, like I'm doing all of this. I wanted to give this Action Andretti guy, I wanted to do this thing for him. Like, what's the next step for it? And if you're not going to do that next step, then you don't book it in the first place. Like, I'm not saying that all of the onus is on Jericho here, but I think that Jericho would benefit from taking a bit of time away.
Yeah.
Tex here said, I was in attendance for last night's show and the crowd was electric, especially for the main event. Getting to sing Metalingus along with thousands of fans is a top 5 life moment for me. Side note, I also shook Rocky Romero's hand.
One of the unsung heroes of the wrestling industry. What a guy, Rocky Romero.
And it was Rocky versus Takeshita.
On Rampage.
Steven here said, finally getting to watch this show again live. Missed you, lad. The women's division is such a mess right now. Feels like the same match over and over again. As an AEW shill, I was excited about Monet, but I'm not there yet. CEO to the elite, fix ideas.
I mean, I think the women's division has had the most focus in ages over definitely the last month. But then, you know, looking back to the Toni Storm stuff as well, the whole Willow Chris Stokely thing.
Yeah. I don't feel like it's the same match over and over again.
No.
Like, especially now that we've added Thunder Rosa into this, and we're adding Mercedes Moné into the, like, adding new elements to it. Yeah. The RB stream said, I hated the Hook versus Jericho match. It felt long. The comparison to the Suplex City match is apt, but damning. Hook had to oversell and won via flash pin. I think TK's booking to save it, but I will, I just don't trust it will. Jericho needs to take off time critically.
I do agree with that last sentence, but I think Hook looked strong. I thought that was a well booked match.
Yeah. I just don't believe the follow up.
Yeah.
And again, that's not all on Jericho. Eduardo Luna here said, Ollie, you've been dodging me for 2 weeks. I've got something to tell you, brother. Blue Beetle was a good movie, brother. I hate Hulk Hogan, but it's the only way I could convey this message in a joking way. Love y'all at WrestleTalk.
Luke told me someone has been messaging him, so I'm glad he finally got to say your thoughts.
So do you want to run down Blue Beetle?
It's I called spots. I was watching the movie, and I turned to my partner, and the scene was ending, and I said, the next scene is going to be this. Mm-hmm. And the exact thing happened. I realized, like, I've been doing that for the past half hour. It is so film formulaic. I think the actors, everyone in that film is actually doing a bang-up job. But, I mean, you know, it's a DC movie in this era, and it's a subpar one, right? That's not a good film. And I'm a Blue Beetle guy. I love Blue Beetle. I'm rereading Infinite Crisis. He's the whole prologue to that. Of course, that's Ted Gord, but I liked it when Ted was in it. Spoiler.
The Black Prince here says, hi, Luke and Ollie, much love.
Susan Sarandon's good. Like I said, she's the big bad.
It's Susan Sarandon, the big bad.
She's my thirsty one for the day. Love Susan Sarandon.
So this is going to be on WrestleTalk Extra next week. We recorded this yesterday. And out of the blue, Ollie was just like, I don't like to get thirsty on shows, but I get my one for this. And what was it?
Well, it was prompted because we were talking about
Edge of Tomorrow.
Tomorrow Never Dies. Edge of Tomorrow, though. Tomorrow Never Dies has its own. No, it's just Emily. There's a scene that they play over and over again of Emily Blunt doing yoga, which is purposely sexualized. And I just said, it's like the bit in Groundhog Day, because it is the, I got you, babe. It's that triggering moment every day for Bill Murray, but it's Emily Blunt doing yoga.
Yeah. And you're thirsty for this show. Susan Sarandon. Anyway, Black Prince says, you've mentioned that you don't have time/viewers to do NXT and Rampage. Have you considered doing two weekly shows, one for each company that does Raw and SmackDown and NXT, and one and vice versa for AEW? It's just an idea.
So that's the same amount of time. Like, you would still have to watch those shows and put them together as one large video. So it will take the same amount of time overall. And usually when you do that, you won't get the right amount of views. Plus, it'll be dated.
Yeah.
I know we're doing SmackDown, well, not currently, but we were doing SmackDown a couple of days after. But the longer you wait for something, the lower the views tend to be.
And like in the end, what you would end up with is just NXT is the final 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah, yeah. Just to jump back, because I think a few more have come in. Ryan V says, what's up, lads? As a New York City Latino, I gotta say I love the English lingo. Billy the Goat is becoming my favorite wrestler at the moment, aside from Swerve. I agree it's hard to keep track with WWE and AEW, which is why I stick to AEW.
Booking Like a Mark said, this is random, but is there any chance AEW will wait to have Mercedes challenge for the TBS Championship until the May 4th collision? With her role in The Mandalorian, she could celebrate winning the belt on Star Wars Day.
Is it that big a deal that she's in The Mandalorian?
Yeah, she's going to be in the movie as well.
Okay. What does she do in the movie? I've not actually seen The Mandalorian.
She is one of the Mandalore.
Right, because I've seen Strange New Worlds, and I watched season 1 and 2 of Discovery. My joke in today's news has broken people in a good way.
Yeah, it's not like your Fight Club joke.
Yeah,
do you remember that from back in the day?
Yeah, Don't look in the box. I love Fight Club. No, yeah, that sort of thing.
I'm not even sure. Like, it's been so long since I've seen the Mandalorian as well. I said quite confidently, oh, she's one of the Mandalores. Like, I think Mandalore's the planet they're on or something. She's one of the planets. I proper fell off the page with Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. I thought the second season was so good. And I thought the ending of it was so great. And then the third season started. I thought Book of Boba Fett was so rubbish that I tapped out after a few episodes. And then I started season three. And spoilers, Mando and Grogu are just back together. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, the whole emotional thrust of the second season was he's going to have to give up Grogu. And now he's just got him back in a TV show I didn't see. Mm-hmm. In the second half of a TV show that wasn't about him, that I didn't watch.
What is good, though? X-Men 97. Oh!
So good.
We've watched both episodes together on our lunch breaks the last 2 days, and it's so good.
Yeah.
Big 89. Oh, sorry, you're doing the chat.
Big 89.7 said, I had a similar Ultra Chat on Monday, but after watching AEW, I think I don't connect with WWE anymore, even with it being so hot right now. I feel like AEW seems more grounded. I don't hate WWE by any means. I used to love WWE, but I just can't take them seriously anymore. Thoughts?
It just sounds like your tastes have changed. Yeah. Honestly, if I didn't do this job, I probably wouldn't watch WWE that much. I'd watch the big events and angles when they popped up on YouTube, but I would always watch Dynamite mm-hmm. every week, even if I didn't do this.
Walter von der Vogelweide has been a member for 31 months in a row, said, I'm currently watching the WWE pay-per-views in 2010, and because of that, I've seen a lot of the candidates for worst match ever, just like the Shad versus JTG strap match. 2010's a bad year.
I'm afraid I've got a bad year for you.
RB has become a member, and Gerald Hazelwood said, Danielson not winning a title is helping AEW. Think of Roddy Piper never winning the WWF title. He's one of the best to do it, and even he couldn't win that belt. It just shows how hard it is to win the belt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is an argument that you could make?
Well, let's check the poll to see what everyone's thoughts are.
Sorry, Booking Like a Mark says we didn't actually answer their chats. Oh, do you think they'll do it on May 4th? Sorry, it's because we started talking about Star Wars instead.
Well, I think they'll probably save it for pay-per-view.
I actually don't think Booker Noka Mark's off.
Oh, really?
I actually think that's a really good idea.
Okay.
If you've got a collision, that's running on this concurrently with a Star Wars celebration, yeah, I'd do it. Thumbs up, 82%, mid 14%. So yeah, it's 82% is actually up. That's bigger than Raw got this week, which got about sort of 70-odd. So, yeah, I'd predominantly thumbs up there.
Needs more tracking shots. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Luke Cohen. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam, everyone. We'll see you on Saturday for the SmackDown review.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.